Welcome to the Deep Dive. So for you listening today, I want you to imagine that you're trying to build a world-class company, right? You go out and you hire the absolute smartest people on the planet. Literal geniuses.
Okay, great start.
Yeah, but here's the catch. You take all these geniuses and you lock every single one of them in a separate soundproof room.
Oh, man.
Right, they can't talk to each other, they can't hand off tasks, and they have absolutely no idea what the person next door is doing.
Which is incredibly inefficient.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is essentially what we have been doing with single prompt chatbots for the last few years. You have all this raw intelligence, but zero orchestration.
Yeah, and honestly, it explains why so many enterprise AI projects are completely stalled right now. I mean, they get stuck at the proof of concept stage. You just can't run a business with, you know, isolated brains in jars. We're really hitting the limits of what a single prompt can do.
We totally are. And looking through the massive stack of sources we have today, from technical developer digests to the official Google Cloud documentation and that really cutting-edge archival of research paper Beyond Accuracy, it's obvious those single prompt bots are already becoming dinosaurs.
Oh, absolutely.
We're moving into what the research calls the agentic imperative.
That's a great term.
Right. Okay, let's unpack this. Because we are no longer talking about a single AI just returning a block of text. We're talking about multi-agent frameworks, systems where AI agents actively collaborate, debate, and delegate tasks to each other.
And the shift here is just monumental, because moving from a single prompt to a multi-agent system, well, it introduces massive architectural complexity.
I bet.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's no longer a question of, you know, which underlying language model is the smartest. It's entirely about organizational strategy. How do you get these digital entities to work together without everything just devolving into total chaos?
And that's exactly what we want to synthesize for you today. If you're an executive or a strategist listening to this, you have to approach this not as coding, but as hiring and structuring a company.
Yes, exactly.
You have to ask yourself, are you trying to build a highly regulated factory assembly line? Or are you scaling up a corporate marketing department? Or maybe you're funding an open-ended R&D think tank.
Those are the exact right questions to ask.
And the sources we've been reviewing identify three distinct strategic archetypes for this, which are LangGraph, Crew AI, and Autogen.
Right. And it's so important to realize these aren't just different software tools. Each one encodes a completely different philosophy about how work should actually be done.
A management philosophy, basically.
Exactly. You are essentially choosing a management philosophy for your new digital workforce.
Okay, well, let's start with the factory line, because that one seems to be the most rigorous. The sources point to LangGraph as the ultimate solution for this.
Yeah, LangGraph is a beast.
We're calling this archetype the precision engine. But, I mean, looking at the documentation, it seems wildly complex. It relies on something called directed acyclic graphs, or DAGs. Before we go any further, translate that for us. What does a DAG actually do in practice?
Sure. So think of a DAG like laying down rigid train tracks for the AI.
Okay, train tracks.
Yeah, because in a standard chatbot, the AI can kind of just wander off in any conversational direction it wants, right? But in a directed acyclic graph, you define the exact stations, those are the nodes, and the physical tracks connecting them, which are the edges.
So it's highly constrained.
Very. And the acyclic part means you control the loops. The AI cannot physically travel backward or skip a step unless you've explicitly laid a track allowing it to do so. It essentially forces the language model to behave deterministically.
So you're removing the AI's ability to go rogue.
Exactly.
You're forcing it through a very strict procedural flowchart. But there's a massive trade-off here. The sources note that a simple tool calling agent that might take, I don't know, maybe 15 lines of code in another framework could require 60 or 70 lines in LangGraph.
Yeah, it's very verbose.
So if I'm an executive, why would I authorize my engineering team to spend weeks learning this incredibly verbose system when faster alternatives exist?
Because in certain industries, speed is a liability.
Oh, interesting. Like where?
Look at banking or legal compliance or healthcare. If an AI agent hallucinates a stock trade or misinterprets a patient's medical record, that isn't just a minor bug, right? It's a catastrophe.
Yeah, that's a massive lawsuit.
Exactly. And LangGraph achieves the highest response consistency index across the benchmarks because of that strict state machine logic. Every single step is recorded in a centralized state object.
Which brings up something fascinating in the documentation. It highlights a feature called checkpointing.
Oh, checkpointing is huge.
I want to make sure I'm grasping the gravity of this. If I have a complex multi-hour workflow, say I've got an agent auditing thousands of financial records, and it crashes at hour three. Checkpointing means I don't lose that work, right?
Exactly. Wait, let me be even more specific. It means you can perform time travel debugging.
Time travel debugging. That sounds like sci-fi.
It kind of is, because LangGraph saves the entire state of the system at every single node. A human developer can go in, look at the exact moment the agent failed, fix the specific error or prompt, and then just resume the workflow from that exact node.
Wait, really? The system doesn't have to start completely over?
Nope, it picks up exactly where it left off. And that level of granular, step-by-step auditability is exactly why it boasts a 99.7% uptime in managed enterprise deployments.
Okay, I get it now. So if I need absolute control, and I have to prove to a regulator exactly why an agent made a decision, I pay the price of a steep learning curve and I use LangGraph.
Right, you pay for precision.
But what if I'm, say, a marketing VP? I don't have weeks to lay down digital train tracks. I have a massive campaign launching next Friday, and I need to spin up a creative department fast.
Then you need the second archetype, the one we're calling the digital workforce, and this is where Crew AI completely dominates.
Okay, how is it different?
Well, it abandons that strict graph theory of LangGraph and focuses entirely on role-based orchestration.
You know, I was reading through the Tribe AI implementation guide, and looking at how Crew AI works, it really reminds me of flat-pack IKEA furniture.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Right. Like, LangGraph is this giant bucket of loose Legos where you have to engineer the structural integrity yourself. But Crew AI is a flat-pack desk. You don't need to be an architect. You just follow the instructions, attach the legs, and boom, you have a working piece of furniture.
That analogy holds up perfectly, especially regarding the assembly part. With Crew AI, you define an agent and you literally just hand it a role.
Like giving it a job title.
Yeah, exactly. You just write in plain English, you are a senior researcher or you are a copywriter. Then you give them specific tools like a web search or a CRM integration, and you organize them into a crew.
And how do they work together?
You basically tell the system whether they should operate sequentially, like an assembly line handing work down, or hierarchically, where a manager agent dynamically delegates subtasks to the others.
Wait, okay, but IKEA furniture is notoriously frustrating if you skip a step in the manual.
Yeah.
Does Crew AI's simplicity mean it sacrifices reliability? I mean, if I just tell an agent, you are a copywriter, how do I ensure it doesn't give me a messy, unusable output?
It prevents the mess through built-in schema validation.
Schema validation. Okay, explain that.
So even though it's really easy to assemble, the framework actually forces the output into predefined structures. If the next agent in line expects a JSON file with three specific data points, the first agent physically cannot pass its work along until the output matches that exact structure. It automatically type checks the work.
Oh, wow. So it acts like a quality control gate.
Exactly.
That really explains the speed then. Because the data shows a median time from idea to production for a Crew AI project is just 11 days. And it usually requires only 50 to 100 lines of code.
Yeah, it's incredibly fast. You sacrifice that granular node-by-node control of LangGraph, but you gain massive time to value for tasks like content pipelines or research synthesis.
Okay, but consider a scenario where you don't actually know the steps required to solve a problem. Like if you're doing open-ended software development or scientific research, you can't build a sequential pipeline because you literally don't know what the sequence is yet.
Which brings us to the third Titan. Mm. Developed by Microsoft, we're framing this one as the innovation lab, Autogen.
Autogen. And this one seems to throw out both the strict flowcharts and the role-based hierarchies, right? The documentation describes it as treating multi-agent systems like a group chat.
Yes, it is entirely conversational. You drop multiple agents into an environment, give them a really complex problem, and they just start talking.
Just talk to each other.
Yeah. They debate, they critique each other's ideas, they negotiate, all until a solution emerges organically from the dialogue itself.
Walk me through how that actually works in practice, though. Because, I mean, talk is cheap. If I throw three digital engineers into a chat room to fix a software bug, how do they know if their proposed solution is actually right?
Through sandboxed code execution.
Code, what is that?
This is Autogen's absolute superpower. It integrates natively with Docker or local environments. So let's say Agent A proposes a piece of Python code to fix a bug.
Right.
Agent B doesn't just read the code and say, looks good. It actually executes that code in a secure, isolated sandbox.
Wait, really? It runs the code itself.
Yes. And if the code fails and spits out an error message, Agent B sends that exact error message back into the chat. Agent A reads it, apologizes, rewrites the code, and they loop this process until the code compiles and runs perfectly.
That is wild. The agents are writing, testing, and debugging their own solutions in real time, and a human doesn't even have to press run.
Exactly. It makes total sense why Autogen is the go-to for discovery-based tasks and R&D.
Okay, so whether you choose the strict graph, the flat pack crew, or the open group chat, these digital workers still need a foundation to operate on, right? Let's look at the architectural core. Specifically, we need to talk about memory.
Oh, memory is everything. It's the defining feature of a production-grade agent.
Because traditional software just relies on static databases, right?
Right. But agents require dynamic, context-aware memory to actually function autonomously over time. And the research we looked at breaks this down into four distinct layers. The first is working, or short-term memory.
I imagine that's just the immediate context, like keeping track of the current conversation without blowing past the token limit of the language model, usually managed with a sliding window that just kind of forgets the oldest messages.
You nailed it. That's layer one. The second layer is long-term memory, and this relies on vector embeddings.
Okay, for anyone listening who isn't deep in the math, let's clarify vector embeddings. Basically, this turns concepts and words into numerical coordinates on a giant 3D map, right?
That's a great way to visualize it.
So the AI can find memories that are close to each other in meaning, even if the exact keywords don't match.
Exactly. It translates semantic meaning into math. So if an agent encounters a problem with a broken server today, it can pull up a memory from 3 months ago about a failed cloud instance because the math tells it those concepts are intimately related.
That's incredibly powerful. Okay, what's the third layer?
Episodic memory, which is basically remembering the specific sequence of past events, what happened, and in what order.
Got it.
But the fourth layer, this is where things get truly revolutionary, procedural memory.
Procedural memory. Yes, this was a massive aha moment for me. And the sources, when we're talking about learned routines, the research cited an agent called Voyager that was placed in the game Minecraft, right?
Yes, the Minecraft example is brilliant.
It didn't just learn how to craft a stone sword through trial and error. It actually wrote the procedural code for crafting that sword and saved it into its own memory library.
So the next time it needed a sword, it didn't have to figure it out all over again. It just called the function it had already written for itself.
Wait, hold on. If the agent is saving successful procedures into a permanent library, does that mean the AI is basically writing its own permanent software updates?
It is doing exactly that.
Wow.
And if we connect this to the bigger enterprise picture, this multi-layered memory fundamentally changes corporate valuation because in an enterprise setting, this memory actually becomes your corporate intellectual property.
Oh, I see. Because it's learning your specific business.
Right. As your agent network learns the quirks of your databases, the preferences of your clients, the unwritten operational procedures of your business, the system's value compounds over time. The network itself becomes a highly proprietary, irreplaceable asset.
But, and this is a big, but accumulating all that autonomy introduces a massive risk. The research papers call it agentic drift.
Yes, agentic drift.
In multi-step loops, agents can get distracted, they can start hallucinating,
Yeah.
or they just slowly drift away from the original goal. So if I have a system writing its own procedural updates, how on earth do I govern it?
Governance requires strict human-in-the-loop protocols. You'll see it abbreviated as HITL. You absolutely do not let the agents operate in a complete
Oh,
vacuum.
wait.
The AG2 documentation, by the way, AG2 is the community-driven evolution of Autogen. They outline a brilliant pattern for financial compliance. Suppose you have an agent network analyzing market data and proposing stock trades.
Okay, I certainly do not want an AI executing financial trades without oversight, no matter how smart its memory is.
Exactly. Which is why the workflow physically pauses before execution. The protocol uses what they call an always versus never gate.
Always versus never.
Yes, the agent is programmed so that it always requests human authorization before calling the execution tool, and it never bypasses the user proxy.
Okay, so it hard stops.
It hard stops. The human operator gets a notification on their screen, reviews the proposed trade, and explicitly approves or denies it. So the AI efficiency does all the heavy lifting, but human judgment remains right there at the critical decision point.
It acts as a safety valve. I love that. And, you know, speaking of tools and execution, there is a massive infrastructure update we have to cover. The sources repeatedly mention the Model Context Protocol, or MCP.
MCP is a game
It
changer.
runs on a JSON RPC 2.0 standard, which I know sounds incredibly dry,
Yeah.
but the implications are huge. Let's translate this. The comparative study describes MCP as basically a universal USB-C port for AI applications.
I use that analogy all the time. It solves one of the biggest, most expensive headaches in enterprise AI.
Which is?
Integration. In the past, if you wanted your LangGraph system to talk to your private Jira board, your Notion workspace, and your internal SQL database, you had to write custom, incredibly fragile API plumbing for every single connection.
Right. And if you then decided to switch to Crew AI,
you had to rewrite all of that plumbing from scratch. It was a nightmare.
But with MCP acting as the universal port,
everything standardizes. Your tools and data sources are exposed through an MCP server. So whether you are running LangGraph, Crew AI, or AutoGen, they all plug into that exact same port. You can swap out the AI framework whenever you want, but the secure connection to your enterprise data remains completely standardized and intact.
Okay, that is brilliant.
Yeah.
So we've covered the theoretical landscape. We've got the three strategic archetypes. We've talked about the compounding value of memory and the governance and tooling protocols. Now we have to bring all of this into a hard business reality.
Let's do it.
If I am sitting in the C-suite, how do I actually evaluate and choose? What's the decision matrix look like?
Well, to build that matrix, we need to use the CLEAR framework. This was detailed in that R-Shift paper, Beyond Accuracy.
CLEAR. What does that stand for?
Cost, latency, efficacy, assurance, and reliability. CLEAR. Historically, developers have evaluated AI solely on efficacy, like how accurate is the answer.
Which makes sense on paper.
On paper, sure. But for an enterprise deployment, optimizing only for accuracy is a massive trap.
Which raises a really uncomfortable question. Are companies overpaying for raw intelligence right now?
Oh, their research data is brutal on this point. Absolutely brutal. Complex architectures, like having a massive model use multi-turn reflection loops where it constantly talks to itself just to refine one answer, they do yield slight improvements in accuracy.
But at what cost?
That's the issue. They drive up the cost and latency dimensions exponentially. The paper shows that optimizing strictly for accuracy with these complex setups makes agents 4.4 to 10.8 times more expensive than cost-aware, domain-tuned alternatives.
Wait, 10.8 times more expensive?
Yes.
That is a remarkably fast way to drain an IT budget for, what, a microscopic bump in performance? Let's make this tangible with the case study from the Enterprise Task Suite in the sources. Automated customer support.
Great example.
Let's say you have brutal business requirements. You have a 3-second service level agreement. The agent must respond to the customer in 3 seconds flat. It needs to handle multi-turn policy compliance, and it has to retrieve accurate data with proper citations.
Okay, so if you try to run that specific workload through AutoGen, using its conversational group chat, you will fail the SLA immediately.
Right, because just picture that happening in real life. A customer submits a complaint. Agent A says, hey, let's issue a full refund. Agent B chimes in, wait, check the 30-day return policy first. Agent A says, good point, let me query the database, by the time they've finished their little internal debate.
15 seconds have passed and the customer has already hung up in frustration.
Exactly.
And conversely, if you try to use LangGraph with those heavy multi-node reflection loops to ensure perfect accuracy, your token costs will just explode. You might end up spending more on cloud compute for that single interaction than you would have spent just paying a human support rep.
Wow. So for a high-volume, low-latency task, you can't use the heavy R&D lab and you can't use the rigorous factory line. You need a lightweight, domain-tuned approach.
Exactly.
This leads perfectly into a decision framework matrix to really guide our listeners. Let's summarize the selection criteria. If your business constraint involves banking, healthcare, or financial compliance, where you need absolute state consistency and the ability to audit every single step.
You deploy LangGraph, no question. You accept the steep learning curve and the verbose code as the necessary price you pay for absolute precision and auditability.
Okay, but if you are doing open-ended software development, or you need emergent prototyping where the solution isn't known and agents just need to fluidly test ideas.
Then you deploy AutoGen. The conversational agility and that built-in code sandboxing we talked about, they are unmatched for pure discovery and R&D.
Got it. And finally, if your priority is rapid deployment, your workflow maps cleanly to role-based delegation, and you just need to scale up a predictable, creative, or research department.
You deploy Crew AI. Its flat pack simplicity and the structured schema validation give you a robust digital workforce in literally days.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So if I'm an executive listening to this, what is my Monday morning move? Let's outline the strategic 30, 60, 90-day roadmap. Based on the implementation guides we reviewed, it seems like the first 30 days should be purely about identification and selection.
Yes. Do not write any code yet.
Right. Audit your existing workflows first. Are they deterministic? Are they conversational? You have to pick the framework archetype that matches your business reality, not just the one trending on developer forums.
Exactly. Then, in the 60-day window, you build your minimum viable product. But, and this is crucial, you strictly implement those human-in-the-loop governance gates.
The always and never gates.
Yes. You use the model context protocol to connect your existing internal tools, but you ensure a human is physically approving critical actions. You use this phase to test the architecture's reliability, not the AI's intelligence.
Makes total sense. And then by day 90, you move toward production scaling. This is where you aggressively optimize those clear metrics, specifically driving down token cost and system latency.
And day 90 is also when you start persisting long-term and procedural memory. That's when you allow your agent network to really begin accumulating that highly valuable corporate intellectual property.
Following that roadmap ensures you're methodically integrating orchestration into the core of your operations, rather than just treating AI as like the novelty side project.
Exactly. It's about strategic integration.
Well, the era of the isolated chat window is definitively closing. The true value of AI is shifting rapidly toward orchestrated autonomous systems. And the framework you choose today really dictates the fundamental nature of your new digital workforce.
It really does. And, you know, I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder, building on everything we've explored today regarding procedural memory.
Go for it.
We know these agents can learn to craft tools, write their own code, and save those routines, right? Well, as these memory systems compound, and as agents learn to dynamically spin up their own specialized sub-agents to handle unexpected edge cases, at what point does the role of the orchestrator transition away from the human developer entirely?
Oh, wow.
Like, how soon until the AI system is just managing its own organizational architecture?
That is the real frontier.
Yeah.
It's one thing when the geniuses are finally let out of their soundproof rooms to talk to each other. It is an entirely different reality when they start redesigning the building themselves. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Take that decision matrix, audit your workflows, and we'll see you next time.